Okay, I got an email from someone as follows. It said it was from a rabbi in Plano, Texas. Any Texans over here? No. Okay. So the rabbi writes the following. I received the following offer from a woman who I do not know. The offer was that if our shul will display the menorah that her husband paid to have crafted in the Jewish quarter, she will gift our shul with a $35,000 donation. For our shul, this is no small sum. The problem is that the menorah has 7 branches and is made out of gold. Is there any eitzah? Should we take it and then change it around? Would that be considered stealing? I don't believe that any Chilul Hashem will come from her seeing it change, because she doesn't live in the same state as us, and she's likely never to see the menorah. Signed by a rabbi in Texas, and he signs that he's a former chavrusa and current friend of my brother. He lent my brother's kolol apparently, and said, "Of course, I will ask your brother the shayla. Just thought I would send you because I thought you'd enjoy the shayla." And he sent me a picture of the menorah. So there's the picture of the menorah in question, right? Made out of gold, 7 branches, seems to fit the criteria of a problem, right? So the question is, but it's $35,000 for a small shul and in a far-flung place that could probably use the money. So is there any room for negotiations? Hello, nephew. Okay, so is there any room for negotiations? Did we discuss this one in shul? I don't think so. Okay, so anyone know anything about this? 7 branch menorahs? You ever hear anything about this? Yeah, well. Oh, so the Gemara that appears in a couple places in Shas, in Rosh Hashanah, and Maseches Menachos, that it's Nisa Doraisa to create a 7-branched menorah. The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to make any of the kelim, ketavnis, the kelim of the Mishkan. The Gemara appears in Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Gimel. The Gemara says, "Kedetanya lo yasa adam bayis tavnis heichal, achsadra tavnis ulam, chotzer tavnis azara, shulchan tavnis shulchan, menorah tavnis or keneged menorah." No, this isn't about Hanukkah. This is about making a menorah that has 7 branches. So the point is that since in the Mishkan they had a menorah that had 7 branches, so you're not allowed to make a menorah that has 7 branches. And the Gemara says explicitly, if you want to make a 6-branch menorah or an 8-branch menorah, like we always do, we make 8-branch menorahs all the time, right? So then you're allowed to do that. There are some women that when they light Shabbos candles, so if they have 5 children and they have the minhag to light an extra candle for each child in addition, right? Really, the din is you're supposed to light 2 candles, right? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You light 2 candles. Why 2 candles? Right, so it's Shomer V'Zachar. A lot of people think it's 1 for Mami, 1 for Tati. It's not 1 for Mami, 1 for Tati. It's for 1 for Shomer, 1 for Zachar, right? And the extra candles are unclear why you, if you don't light 1 for Mami, 1 for Tati, why would you light 1 for each kid? It could be that that's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, HaZohir B'ner, that if a person is careful about mitzvos of Neros, namely Neros Shabbos, Rashi writes, you'll be zochet to have banim tamid chacham. So you're showing extra zehirus in there for all the children that you have, so that it will be a skula that you'll have banim tamid chacham. That's why Mishnah Berurah says that when a woman lights Shabbos candles right before she lights, many women have the minhag that they put a little money in a tzedakah box, that they give a little money to tzedakah. Anyone seen this? No? Some, yes, okay. So they even sell like nice silver tzedakah boxes that match the tzedakah box costs more than any amount of money that it could hold at any given time, or whatever, that matches the menorah because it's supposed to look nice. So where does that minhag come from? Because the Mishnah Berurah explains that whenever you give tzedakah associated with a mitzvah, it has an ability to sort of supercharge that mitzvah. It makes the mitzvah stronger. So what would be more valuable to a Jewish mother than to take the mitzvah that's a skula for banim tamid chachamim and supercharge that mitzvah? That would be the greatest thing. So certainly she would want to do that, and that's where the minhag comes from, to give tzedakah. I once had a case, a guy called me and he told me that his wife's kala teacher, when she was kala, had told her that every time that she and her husband have tashmish throughout their marriage, they should give tzedakah afterwards. or before, I don't know what. So he wanted to know. He didn't have so much money and whatever, and he just lost his job, I think it was. And so he wasn't going to have as much money, and he was going to have a lot more time on his hands. So he wasn't sure what to do. So he wanted to know if he could be Matir Neder, if he needs to be Matir Neder. So at first, I was very troubled by the suggestion to give money. Like, I thought it was like, ki'ilu, you need a kapara. Like, you're doing something gross and dirty, and therefore you need a kapara by giving tzedakah. And that's very Christian. That is not a Jewish point of view. The Jewish point of view, the Gemara says in Maseches Nida, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there at the Shas Zivug, and he's mavchen ben tipa letipa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meaning you're doing Ratzon Hashem. It's Avodas Hashem. It's all part of the way a person is supposed to live a life of holiness. That we believe in being Mekadesh Techol, and that's why we have Dinim of Taras HaMishpach and things like that. So I thought it was a very Christian suggestion. So I asked Rav Schachter about it. It's still a net, meaning it's still a neder mitzvah, even if it is a Christian suggestion, because giving tzedakah at the end of the day is a mitzvah. The way my brother, responded when I told him this is, if a person takes a neder to give tzedakah with every bowel movement, they also did a neder mitzvah, meaning it doesn't matter what you associate your neder tzedakah with. But when I asked Rav Schachter, I said, it so bothers me that someone would say like that, you know. So he said, no, probably what their kavana was, that just like the Mishnah Berurah says that you give tzedakah before you light candles, because hazar b'ner havin lo banam tamid chum, and you want to supercharge a mitzvah that's going to give you banam tamid chum. He said, what do you think is a bigger school that to have children? lighting Shabbos candles or the mitzvah's ona? So probably that's a bigger school for having children. So probably she wants to... Okay, that's a very charitable, no pun intended, charitable reading of that minute. But okay, so how did I get to that? I was saying, was some women, if they have five children, they dafka won't have a leichter that has seven pieces to it. They'll have two sticks and a five-piece set. That's what we happen to have in our house. My wife Yarshin from her grandmother, a five-branch thing. So she's got two sticks and the five-branch thing. And some have, like, with removable candles, and you could retrofit it, but whatever. So why is that? Where do they come up with that? Because the Gemara says you're not supposed to make a menorah that has seven branches. And afil shoshami nimatchos, even if it's made out of other metals. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Domer, afshal eitz lo yase. That even if you're making it out of wood, which doesn't seem like a wise thing to make a menorah out of, I have a neighbor who told every Hanukkah, I try to remember, I don't always remember, but I try to remember every Hanukkah to either send an email or make an announcement in shul that people should never leave their menorah unattended. And to the extent possible, try to stay in the same room as your menorah, because every year, almost without fail, there is a house fire somewhere. That sometimes, every house fire is bad, but some are extremely tragic as a result of menorah. And even if you're not worried about your own life, but you should be worried about the Chil Hashem, that the amount of Chil Hashem that is, that doing a mitzvah is going to cause destruction, is you can't have a bigger Chil Hashem than that. So one year, my neighbor told me that, he said, thank you for sending that email, it saved our lives. I said, what happened? He said, well, Friday night, I go to shul, and my wife usually goes to the basement and reads with the children. But you sent that email, and it's Shabbos Chanukah, so she decided, instead of going to the basement to read with the children, she was going to stay in the living room where the menorah was to read with the children. And one of our kids came home from preschool with a menorah painted beautifully with flammable paint, and the whole thing lit on fire, and had she been in the basement, I don't know if, not only one of you has ever, I think, been in my house, but our basements are like death traps, meaning there's only one way out, and it's narrow, and it's, had that been a house fire that she would not have caught in time, it would have been very, very, very tragic. So maybe not a great idea to make a menorah out of a flammable material, but if someone does, that's an isser also. Meaning, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So there is a machlokes rishonim. Is it only something that looks like the menorah in the Mishkan? Meaning, what about like a leichter that a woman has where the branches are all over the place? They're not in a straight row. So the Bechor Shor in the Sechs Rosh Hashanah says any seven branched leichter, candelabrum, regardless of its size, shape, doesn't matter, it's going to be asr. The Meiri says, if it's even slightly different from the original menorah, then it's going to be mutter. And the Marik says that if it would be kosher b'di'evad, if it would be kosher b'di'evad in the Mishkan, then it's asr to make. Meaning it doesn't have to be the perfect menorah for the Mishkan, but it has to be something that in a pinch they'd still be able to be yotzei the mitzvah with in the Mishkan. So if you have with the candles all over the place, they probably can't be yotzei the mitzvah. But if you have made out of other materials, or even wood, like the Chashmonai made out of when they first took over, so you have it made out of other materials, that would be kosher in a pinch in the Mishkan, and therefore that's usher to do. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yerideas and Kuf Mem Aleph, like the Marik, that if it would be kosher, but you have it in the Mishkan, then it's usher. There's a tshuva from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was the Rav of, I guess, the Eidah Charedis, must have been, meaning he was the Rav of Yerushalayim at the same time that that Rav Kook was also the Rav. They were the two Gedolim at the time, from different Hashkafic vantage points. But Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld is a great Gaon and Tzaddik, and in his Tshuvah Salmas Chaim, Simon Reish Ayin Beis, he says that even if you're doing it for educational reasons, you shouldn't make a seven-branch menorah. And he says, and therefore, you got to be very careful about that. Even when you're a teacher or something like that, it's still going to be usher. And even if it doesn't have all the knobs and the flowers and the whatever, all the details and the intricacies of the menorah of the Mishkan, it is a problem. There is a shita, though, that says that even though the Shulchan Aruch says we could follow the Ma'arik, there is a shita that says we should be even more strict and not even make or own any menorah, even that which wouldn't be considered kosher b'di'avet, anything, no matter shape, form, or anything else, that's seven branches. Even a menorah which is made to hold candles and couldn't possibly hold oil and wicks, and if you could only put like wax candles in it, even that's usher, according to this shita. This is quoted in the Pischei Tshuva, which is one of the major commentaries on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes from the Shoal of Meshiv, and it's quoted in the Darkei Tshuva, which is another major commentary in Yerideya written by, anyone know Darkei Tshuva was written by? The Munkacher Rebbe. So Rav Shechter, I know when he paskins Yerideya Shailas, always consults the Darkei Tshuva. I've been with him in the OU office when they have all sorts of shailas that come up with kashrus. He'll say, we have to see what the Darkei Tshuva says. I once asked him a shaila about something, and he says, it's a machlokas aposkim. You have to check the Darkei Tshuva, see what the minig is. I don't know why, I'm not sure what the story behind that is, like why the Darkei Tshuva became such an important sefer, but certainly in Rav Shechter's Derech HaPsak, he consults the Darkei Tshuva a lot. So anyway, so we're mekel like the Ma'arik, that it has to be something that at least would be kosher b'di'evet in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the Gros Moshe Yordeich El Gimel that the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira would be matir if it's made out of wood or cheres. Because the Rambam's shita is that such a thing is not kosher in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that anything that's not kosher for the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, you can make for yourself. And he gives an example of a gold menorah with no cups, knobs, or flowers, which is interesting because you would think that would be kosher in the Beis HaMikdash. But I think the cups is the key, that if it doesn't have a base kibble. I remember when DRS built their new building, it's not so new anymore, but whatever it was, 20-something years ago, when they moved from the Reform Temple where we used to rent space to our campus in Woodmere. So the Beis Medrash in DRS has two big menorahs in the front of the Beis Medrash, not usable, they're just for design in the front of the Beis Medrash. If you can't touch them, you can't reach it because they're really high up, but if you were to touch them, they're made out of like cardboard. They're not even, they look gold, but they're not. They're made out of like, it's spray-painted cardboard or something. So I remember the first time Rav Shechter came to the building, they wanted to do a whole big Chanukah Sabayis and bring in Gedolei Yisrael. So Rav Shechter came in, and he said, oh, that's a problem. because there are seven-branch menorahs. So the question is, can they be used? If they can't be used at all, if you couldn't, it's not even possible to light them, so then maybe that would not be a problem. But anyway, none of this relates to our Shiloh. Why does none of this relate to our Shiloh? Because we're not talking about making a menorah, we're talking about having the menorah, keeping the menorah. So the Bira Gra assumes that you're not even allowed to own such a menorah. So if she's gifting it to the shul, or even asking the shul to demonstrate it, which gives the impression that it belongs to the shul, so according to those Rishonim, that you're not allowed to own such a menorah, that is a problem. Now, you could fix it by, meaning if you do own such a menorah, you could fix it by adding or removing a branch. We don't say it becomes a chafetz shalisa and now it's asur forever. So you could technically fix it. But what's the problem with fixing this one? What? Yeah, meaning it's they don't own it. It's hers. It's not theirs. So it's gneva. You can't steal. Maybe they could retrofit something that you add on to it or whatever, but then it's gneva's das, because the whole point is that her husband was the designer of this menorah, and as the designer, he took an interest in this. She takes an interest in this design. So that would be a violation of gneva's das, l'chora. So you're allowed to be gonev das, non-from person? You're not even allowed to be gonev das a guy, the Gemara says. Gemara chulun daf tzadi
dalis. Six branch menorah, is that fine?
What?
Six branch menorah?
Seven branch menorah.
But if you have six one,
it's not fine. Six one would be fine, yeah. So the Gemara says that in Meseches Chulin, daf tzadi dalis, that there's an issue to be gonev das a brios afilu das akum, that even a guy. The Gemara tells the story that Shmuel was riding on a ferry boat somewhere, and they got to the other side, and he asked his helper to give a tip to the ferry driver. So the guy had a chicken. I guess you could tip in chickens. So he gave a chicken to the ferry driver, not a live chicken, maybe it was a live chicken. But the point is that the chicken, they knew that it was a trefa, so Shmuel had no use for it, because if he were to shecht it, he wouldn't be allowed to eat it anyway. Ferry driver was a guy, so he figured, okay, let him enjoy. You know, you're allowed to give it machro l'nachri. You can give it to a guy if you want. So Shmuel got upset at him. He said, the ferry driver doesn't know that I can't eat that chicken anyway, and that for me it's basically garbage. So you're giving him the impression that you're providing him with something. That you're giving up something, and we're not actually giving up anything. So that's Gneva's Das. So Shmuel got upset that you can't do that. And the Gemara gives a bunch of examples of Gneva's Das. You can't invite a friend for a meal when you have no intention of hosting him, and you just happen to know that he's not going to accept your invitation. Right? Let's say you want to be friendly. It's like, oh, we got to invite the new neighbor. We'll wait till you overhear them say that they're not going to be home for Shabbos. They say, oh, would you like to come for Shabbos? You know, so that way you'll give the impression. So Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. You can't bring a person a barrel of wine as a gift if there's oil at the mouth of the barrel, because it gives the impression that the barrel's full of oil, which the Gemara assumes is more expensive than wine. It's not clear where in the Torah it says there's an Isser of Nevis Das, but the Gemara makes it clear that there is an Isser of Nevis Das. It's interesting, the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira puts Nevis Das together with the Dinim of Ona'ah. What are the Dinim of Ona'ah? Of unfair pricing, right? Meaning there's Ona'ah Devarim, which is a separate thing, right? Which is not just not being not nice, being verbally abusive is Ona'ah Devarim. Someone once told me, Mechanich once told me that the Chafetz Chaim did such a great job talking about Lashon Hara that he thinks that, particularly for young men, we talk too much about Lashon Hara. He said, young men, the Nisayan is not Lashon Hara. The Nisayan is Ona'ah Devarim. Young women, the Nisayan is Lashon Hara. Women are more likely to talk about each other behind each other's backs. Men are more likely to just be verbally abusive to one another. So one has to be careful, not only about Lashon Hara, but about Ona'ah Devarim as well. But Ona'ah, in the classic form, is just unfair pricing by cheating someone in a price of something. A young man came into the base measures the other day in camp here and told me that he is he's an avid baseball card collector. And he was doing a trade of baseball. I didn't even know baseball cards are a thing. I guess they've come back in style. So when I was a kid, it was like, you know, I was sure that I was going to be rich because of my baseball card collection. He said that he was doing a trade with someone, and at the time that they were doing the trade, they thought that the card that the other kid was giving him was worth $15, and they actually stated that. So he gave him back, you know, in the trade, $15 worth of cards. It happened to be the card that the other kid was giving him was worth $80. So he had just traded, he had received an $80 card for, you know, $15 worth of cards in return. So he wanted to know, does he have to tell the kid now that, you know, so yes, that's a no. That's like, you know, that certainly qualifies as bitul mekach. You know, the whole trade is void. So the Rambam puts Gnevas Das together with that. If that's true, then there should be no issur of Gnevas Das on a non-Jew, because there's no issur of Hana on a non-Jew. But we know it's beferish in the Gemara that there is an issur of Gnevas Das on a non-Jew. Shulchan Aruch mentions the issur of Gnevas Das right between the issur of Hana'as Devarim and Hana'as Mamon. Right between the issur of being verbally abusive and overcharging someone. So my Rebbe from Karim Yavner of Silver thought that the Shulchan Aruch views Gnevas Das as an issur that fits neither category perfectly. It can't be Ona'ah because there's no monetary loss, and it doesn't fit into the category of Ona'ah Zvarim because the victim may not even realize that he's being hurt when you do Gnevas Das, right? Meaning that's the whole point. He has no idea what you're doing. So it doesn't fit. So they made this issur of Gnevas Das as sort of like an outgrowth of both of these existing issurim. So it would seem that this would be a violation of Gnevas Das. Well, you might say, well, how can I do Gnevas Das? I'm not doing anything. I'm just taking the menorah. I'm not saying anything. I'm not presenting anything. Yeah, she's just saying, you want the menorah? And I'll say, here's my address. You know, you can ship to this address. I don't have to say anything. So the Gemara, Tosfos Maseches Chulin assumes that the issue of Gnevas Das can be violated even without saying a single word. Giving a false impression is enough. Tosfos points out that Rashi doesn't seem to agree with that. But Tosfos seems to assume that way. I mean, let's say, for example, classic example, you're in the hospital because of whatever reason. You know, my wife was in the hospital last night with my daughter because she broke her foot last night. So, you know, so she was in one of the lovely hospitals up here, you know, at 3 a.m. And you know, there's a, they said there was like a 90-year-old lady with like an oxygen tank waiting in the emergency room saying, asking my wife, when are you going to take me to see me? My wife was like, I don't work here, you know, whatever it was. So somehow my daughter got ahead of the 90-year-old lady with the oxygen tank. She's probably still waiting there. So let's say you're in the hospital because your daughter tripped, you know, trying to chase her brother, which may or may not have happened. So and then you realize that there's a friend of yours who's in the hospital also. Not such a close friend. You definitely wouldn't have gone to the hospital to visit them. But once you're there, you know, and the friend is there, so you'll go into the room and you'll say hello. So if you go in and give the impression that you came dafka for them, that would be a violation of Gnevas Das. Right, the more appropriate thing to be would be like, oh, I saw that you were here when I was bringing my daughter. Meaning, head it off. Don't wait for them to say, oh, thank you so much for coming just for me. And then you have to say, well, actually, you know, that's not a good conversation to have. So you want to start the conversation by saying, I was here for my daughter, and I just noticed that you were here. They say that, I think it was Rav Schwab used to, whenever he would go be mevaker cholim in the hospital, he'd go to the nurse's station. And he would say, is there a patient here by the name of Simon Schwab? And they would check, and they would say, no. And he'd say, Baruch Hashem, you know, thank you, Hashem. You know, to gain a sense of appreciation that, you know, that he has his health. I don't know, it seems like a waste of time for the nurses to be looking up, you know. So I don't know if that's a true story or not, but that's, I saw it somewhere. But anyway, this l'chor would be a violation of Gnevas Das. So any eitzah for this guy to get the 35 grand, and, you know, one could argue that he's not taking ownership of the menorah. He didn't make the menorah, he's just storing it, right? Displaying, maybe on the display case, they could say, maybe they could put a sign next to it that says, technically this is not permissible to make, but we're, you know, something like that, and it's not owned by our shul, or something like that. You know, would that be a violation of Gnevas Das, that she wants it prominently displayed for a reason? She doesn't want it, you know, she doesn't want you to denigrate the whole enterprise of having built this menorah. I don't know. Okay, there's yesh ladun. There's what to discuss. There's what to argue about that. As it turns out, just to close the loop over here, the guy did ask my brother what he thought about this, and my brother said, "Oh yeah, our shul got the same email. It's a scam. It's all fake." I said, "You know, it's all fake." He said, "We looked into it. You send money to the moving company for the shipping costs, and then they disappear. it's an irreversible way to send money. So that's why if you read the original email said, I'll read it to you. If our shul will display the menorah that her husband paid to have crafted in the Jewish quarter, she will gift our shul with a $35,000 donation." It doesn't even say dollars. It's just a $35,000 crafted in the Jewish quarter, like, meaning it sounds like it was written by a very poor version of AI. So I guess you got to be on your toes a little bit. So it turns out that the shul in Plano, Texas, nor the shul in San Jose, California, where my brother is going to be displaying a 7-branch menorah, and normally they'd be receiving $35,000. And Baruch Hashem, they will not be sending money to this person either, because the whole thing is a scam. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.